Yes, everybody, welcome to Renegade Broadcasting. I am Mike Sledge, Will Miller. Cannot do a show tonight, so I am filling in. This is a two-part special on national protectionism, bringing nationalism back here at home and abroad. It's great to be on Renegade Broadcasting. Check out the great shows in Renegade Broadcasting. And you come to the right place. If you are sick of the multicultural programming, if you are sick of diversity, if you are sick and tired of the Jew programming, if you are tired of our culture, our heritage, our borders being wide open, and our country and our culture being drawn down into the sewer of a third world country, enough is enough. And we've had enough. By the way, this is the first broadcast of Reconstructions Live. Down and Out Radio is no more. There is nothing to be down and out about. It is time to move on, to move forward with a new agenda and a new vision for the future. It is time that we stand up, drop the frustration, the pessimism, get on our feet, and start standing up for our people, our nation, for European culture and Western civilization. I've had enough. It is time that we start moving in a proactive direction. For too long, we've been trained how to react to their agenda, their propaganda. And enough of that. Let them react to us. Let them react to what we're doing. It's time to put ideas on the table. It's time to put a platform on the table. It's time to intellectually rise to the occasion and compete in the debate in the arena of ideas. Enough is enough. So we are going to reconstruct tonight and on every Thursday right here on Renegade Broadcasting. I also want to say that I thought James did an excellent job last night on Wildcard Tuesday. A natural on radio. You sounded great. And I hope you do more shows. We need everybody involved. We need a plethora of ideas. It's not just about one person. It's about all of us coming together, not in a communist sense, but coming together as a people, as a new movement, not a truth movement, not a conspiracy movement, because we are not facing a conspiracy today. We are facing criminals and a Talmudic mindset of corrupt individuals who operate in public. They are doing nothing behind closed doors. They are doing it in our face. They are telling us to our face that we do not have the right to exist, that our culture needs to be destroyed, our institutions need to be debased. And enough is enough of it. We're going to tear it down. And tonight is going to be my vision, my idea on how to bring forward a new nationalism for this country and abroad. And we'll get into how we can bring it down in closing tonight. But first, I want to put forward some ideas because I feel it's important. And without ideas, we die. Without vision, we die. The title of the message tonight is Rising of the New Phoenix. You see, from out of chaos, destruction, and especially self-destruction, one may finally have the revelation of survival that becomes the catalyst to change, empowerment, and the need to move forward. After the awakening, to not only wake up others out of their slumber, but to begin the process of not only taking back what was lost, but take back what is rightfully ours. And to build upon that foundation, a futurist nationalist civilization the likes of the world has never witnessed before. Now, those of you who have listened to my past broadcasts know that I've battled personal demons, alcohol, and other vices. But I'm going to tell you tonight, at Reconstructionist Live, those days of swimming in the Jewish gutters and poisoning my body with Jew juice are over. Now is the time for sobriety, purity, and the strength and clarity of mind to be able to organize and stand up a clear message that our people are united and ready to take our heritage back, backed from the hordes financed by our enemy to destroy and desecrate Western civilization, backed from the Jewish bankers to profit on the backs of our working class, backed from the Jewish media bosses who have exploited our women and brainwashed our youth and participated in a white genocide designed by the Zionist psychology brainwashing machine which sits in almost every American's household today. We need not waste our time campaigning against their propaganda, but rather move forward with our own agenda, our own media, our own policing, our own political philosophy, parties, conventions. We must rise victorious above their established order, above their governments, their banking institutions, above their Hollywood and multimedia conglomerates, above their hollow, shallow, dime store, crackerjack political rhetoric, and establish our new order, not theirs. Our new culture, our new system that has the courage to deal with the existing problems of Jewish multiculturalism and offer a new vision that will uplift our people and make this our 21st century. We can no longer just recite history and model our movements after old regimes of the 20th century, but recognize that we need a new agenda and creation of a new paradigm. We can learn from the past and hear the call of our ancestors, but we must finally recognize that this is not Germany 1933, but America 2013. While our enemy is the same, the solutions, programs, and platforms must adapt to the new times and situations that we live in today. We can build the bridge from National Socialism to the new vision of national protectionism for the home front and international nationalism for the world. We can no longer fall into the traps and snares our enemy has down for us. False alternatives to this tyranny, like free trade or privatization of currency or deregulation of multinational corporations of New York, Wall Street banks, or the lie that we need to go back to the Constitution to stop the enemy. We must finally recognize that they did not follow the law or the Constitution to enslave us, and we will never break out of their vice grip by following their law or their Constitution or separation of powers. They stole our freedom, property, race, culture like a thief in the night. And we cannot be expected to remedy our plight by following laws or a constitution which they never followed to slave us in the first place. Our energy and movement needs to be quick like lightning, an insurgency that moves upon the enemy faster than they placed their tyrannical chain on us. If there is only a few 100,000 of us, it is still a larger number than their paid shields and hacks who sit at their round tables in New York, London, Rome, D.C., and Tel Aviv. The days of hollow square men sitting around round tables plotting our demise are quickly coming to an end. Now that we have defined our enemy, we must put new political philosophies and a new agenda on the table. We must rise to the occasion and begin a new renaissance politically. We must offer an alternative to people. We must be able to debate and to make our points in the arena of ideas. For too long, we have censored fringe extremists. Those days are over. We must now organize and force our ideas into the national debate. So now that we've defined our problems and who the true enemy is, let's get into the steps and the planks of national protectionism. One, all dual citizens must be immediately removed from office. No individual shall be permitted to hold office whose loyalty is not totally committed to the nation. The survival of culture heritage depends upon strict enforcement of this doctrine. Also, as a part of the first clause, all special interest and lobbying groups working on behalf of foreign governments like Israel, groups such as the ADL, PAC, are to be outlawed and any organizing to influence national policy shall be treated as treason, and all assets frozen and seized and put back into our infrastructure programs, rebuilding our industrial manufacturing base to rebuild our national economy. These assets alone could begin the process of rebuilding our nation. This process should be overseen by an independent outside committee of members chosen exclusively by our new nationalist alliance. Now, if Clause 1 is enforced properly, this should rid our government of cancer for the most part. This would then allow for nationalism and nationalization of the banking system, outlawing private bank profiting and eliminating usury, and allow our banking system and currency to then work exclusively in rebuilding the nation state, economy, education, infrastructure, and internationalist goals that would spark innovation, advancement of our culture and civilization. Number 3, managing media outlets. Because a free press is essential to maintaining a strong nation state and holding our elected officials accountable, the same statute from Section 1 would apply to Section 3. No dual citizen or outside power representing foreign governments, foreign corporations, Israel, AIPAC, and so on, would be permitted to own television, radio, or any other media outlet communications. You see, communications is one of the most powerful tools and has to be used as a weapon of propaganda against our people. Therefore, only a media which is loyal to the betterment of our culture, people, and sovereignty should only be permitted to operate within our borders. It is time, and I mean this, it is time for our culture, our people to realize that together, united, we can challenge this evil juggernaut. Now is the time for every individual within our culture to work together and challenge their diversity poison head on. From the Ivy League intellectuals right down to the blue-collar worker who drives our economy and can outproduce any worker on the globe given the right incentive and protections. Our working class have been lied to and sold into slavery by the international Jew who destroyed our manufacturing base, auto industry, textile industry, through their sick and twisted free trade agreements which looted our wealth and undermined our worker. Just like they did in Russia, Ukraine, Germany, Greece, Iceland, Poland, Ireland, they looted our wealth and then flooded us with third world populations. All this designed not only to displace the worker, but destroy our culture, vultures eyeing their prey. Look at what they have done to the sovereign nation states globally. Look at what they did to Serbia as an example. In the last 20 years, they have literally changed population and ethnic makeup without a single shot fired. Their ultimate goal is to wipe European culture off the face of the planet and turn our culture into that of Liberia or modern-day South Africa. If we continue down their dark road of multiculturalism and diversity, this nation will resemble Haiti or Mozambique, not the shining city on a hill, but rather a cesspool of the most base forms of humanity the world has ever seen. Now is the time to unite and to form a new nationalist front, the likes the world has never seen before. And this goes to education now. And education should be one of our main areas of concern. And it should be one of our main areas in taking back from the controllers. Education and culture. Just as Section 1, the expulsion of dual citizens and foreign lobbying and special interest groups should clean out most of our control over our education system. Although liberalism has been used as a direct weapon against our youth, multiculturalism and diversity have been the proverbial loaded gun that they have held to our heads. bringing about the poisoning of our culture and heritage. This disease has taken root so deep within our education system that organizations like the NEA, National Education Association, must be abolished. Ultimately, new education boards and curriculum goals must replace the current agenda of communistic multiculturalism and diversity. Our re-education camps called public schools must be made over entirely. We must bring back a curriculum of real history, true history of European heritage and our constitutional foundations. The first six grades of education should focus on reading, writing, arithmetic, science, literature, and true history of European culture and Western civilization. The history of real men and women of genius shall be passed down to the next generations. Individuals like Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, Washington will be celebrated in our schools, and all communist holidays and all past communist agitators and their holidays and their holy days that have been placed in our re-education camps called public schools shall be immediately abolished and cleansed from our history. The history of how Jewish Bolshevism and communism infiltrated our society, destroyed our institutions, debased our culture and pride, will be passed down to our youth so that we may build up a future army of dedicated nationalists who shall never forget the atrocities that were done in the name of our enemy. All forms of celebrating or honoring communist leaders will be prohibited in our school system. We must finally recognize that international communism and other elite Jew philosophies, including Islam, are dedicated to the violent overthrow of our race, culture, government structure, and robbing us of our destiny. These philosophies must be treated as forms of treason against our people and cannot be allowed to fall under the protection of free speech or the false concept of democracy. An organized mob or criminal enterprise cloaked in the concept of politics is nothing more than a declaration of war against our people and shall be treated as such. We need to bring back physical education, a new physical education program back into our school systems. Physical exercise is an important part of a healthy education and ensures a healthy youth. Included in this program should be a balanced diet consisting of non-GMO, whole organic fruits and vegetables, as well as healthy sources of meat and proteins within our school cafeterias. When the student enters to the high school level, they must be educated in both college preparatory curriculum as well as learning a real skill. Welding, electrical engineering, carpentry, automotive. This will ensure not only an educated graduate, but also after high school, people will be ready to enter into our new manufacturing and industrial base with the proper skills. If one wishes not to enter the college level, they will have the ability to enter into the workforce with knowledge, skill, and to be productive in building up the new civilization. Also included in our new educational system, we need to include fine arts, studies of painting, sculpting, classical music, and classical Western literature, also poetry. Indeed, in the process, and included in this process of education, we should include firearms training and gun safety. Shooting ranges should be set up in every school, and our students should be trained in firearm safety as well as becoming masterful marksmen. That'll solve a lot of our problems with these ridiculous government massacres in our schools. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Our public schools, our prisons, with our youth locked in these almost concentration camps, if you will, barbed wire around the schools. We need to finally break through that programming and train our children to handle weapons properly. This will also improve their skill levels when it comes to protecting our borders and our civilization down the road as well. Our youth should know not only about firearm safety and proper ways to handle a weapon, but also graduate as skilled shooters. This combination should mold youth into educated, well-rounded intellectuals with proper skills for the new economy, but also as the new elites who will ensure the survival of culture, heritage, and state for many generations to come. At the college level, our focus must be on educating the upper levels of our society. The focus here must be on science, high tech, space, engineering, physics, medicine, governmental sciences, and study in the area of energy and transforming our energy policy to become independent from big Zio oil and future quagmires in the Middle East. Our energy policy. As part of our new energy policy, the legalization of industrial hemp manufacturing must begin immediately. This hemp policy, in conjunction with our new manufacturing textile and automobile industry, along with the nationalist infrastructure renewal agenda, will mean a booming and rapidly expanding economy for generations. We must set national goals so that our common national identity works together to build the most advanced society the world has ever known. To ensure that we not only generate revenue towards the rebuilding of our new national society, we must also create a new tariff system to not only protect our working class, but to collect revenue off of imports, so that the direct taxing of our citizenry remains as low as possible, so that they may enjoy and keep the majority of the fruits of their labor. Remember, we will have such rapid economic growth under the rebuilding of our manufacturing base that other nations will still want imports into our markets, with their imports even more. Their imports will be purchased even more than before, folks, because there'll be jobs. When you create jobs, you have more people who can buy products. You free up cash flow. It's a very simple economic principle. And when our market increases, other countries will want to send their goods here, even with the tariffs. That's the lie that your bankers have told you. Oh, that if you raise tariffs on products, they'll quit. You know, you start a trade war. Total BS. It's total bullshit. Other nations will still want to send their products to our market with their imports even more than before, for the simple fact that we will have a middle and upper class more disposable income to spend due to the expansion of quality high-paying jobs. The use of tariffs will be our main source of revenue to the nation. This means that we will lead and we will have a lean national bureaucracy with minimal waste, duplicity, and abuse. By setting our national priorities, we would easily fund our infrastructure, military, education, and health system without worry. By using modern technology in the computer age, we can appropriately streamline our government to make it dedicated to begin working for our people instead of using our people as slaves and creating a permanent servant class. Because healthcare and education and a surplus of jobs will be created, the welfare state will be obliterated completely. Save the retirement funds for our retired workers. Those who work for the benefit of our nation deserve not only our gratitude and respect, but a sound retirement program provided by national protectionism. All freeloaders and non-productive individuals will have no excuse for their laziness and can work and better themselves or fend for themselves. Our national treasures should not be depleted to feed or raise the lowest common denominator of our society. We need to be a fit, healthy, working nation and the most advanced technologically in the world. We will not be held back for the benefit of the non-productive productive, or lazy culture. Immigration. This is important. The fact of the matter is that our Western civilization was founded by blood, European blood. The European tribes created the philosophies, language, customs, and culture that is the foundation of our freedom, creativity, and ultimately our entire civilization. They created our governmental philosophies and our laws. But over the years, the international elite Jew has undermined all of these foundations, subverting our law, mixing our race, destroying our institutions with their corruption, desecrating our arts, and replacing our philosophy of government with the sick poison of the Talmud, Noahide law, and the philosophy of control, death, and servitude of our people. Now they have initiated the final phase, the final consolidation of our destruction. They have radicalized the third world populations, the Africans and Hispanics, with pure Jewish communist and various forms of liberation theologies, push the minds of these third world populations to hate, despise, and cheer the collapse of our civilization, to leech off our working class and literally suck off our welfare system, and to flood our countries, ultimately changing our identity, language, traditions, and then finally collapsing the system as a whole. Take a look at what they've done to Europe with the influx of the Muslim populations. In the very near future, if current trends continue, countries like France, England, Germany will become Islamic nations. And that is a fact, whether you like it or not. We need to come to terms with this. And then after they fall, then Canada, then the United States will fall shortly thereafter. While we don't wish to rule over their countries, in their part of the world, we must have the courage and strength to begin the process of immigration reform, legal and illegal. We must begin this process of sealing our borders and returning all illegal back to their own respective countries. If those people want freedom and a better economic future, then they must find the testicular fortitude to reform their respective countries from the communistic and corrupt oligarch empires that have taken root there. This will be easier for them, since all foreign aid, including covert black operations funding, will be entirely cut off. The resources that used to go to propping up communist dictatorships and F squads will be immediately redirected back to our nation's economy, for the betterment of our people. Now, this plank must be included in any type of immigration package. It has to be. Without the support of the American taxpayer and the Jewish-controlled agencies like the IMF and the World Bank and corrupt private intelligence operations, the leadership in these countries will no longer have our protection, and the will of the people can once again assume power, making it possible for those people to guide their own destiny and create a system that fits into their culture. This full approach must take place in order for any immigration policy to be effective. This now leads into the area and the foundation of a new foreign policy. And I call it international nationalism. The foundation of international nationalism is based upon the reality that right now, this country, unfortunately, is the engine and the operating system for this world Zionist empire. But this is actually, folks, this is actually a positive reality for us if we can take over the reins of power. Within this country, if we cut off the majority of funding to this sick and twisted experiment, then we can win in the long run. We no longer use the tax dollars of our working class and society to fund the multicultural nightmare. By eliminating funding to the United Nations, IMF, World Bank, and NATO operations, we can stop the propping up of puppet regimes globally. And the real grassroots populist, nationalist parties within Europe can then rise up from out of their Bolshevik design destruction. Once nationalism gains a strong footing here and in Europe, then we must form a new axis of power, a new coalition of sovereign states dedicated to the preservation of Western civilization. This would be a different form of internationalism, you see. This would be a form of internationalism that would respect the sovereignty of all countries within the new axis. Working together with other nationalist countries, we then form a united nationalist nations, having new alliances with other European countries with like interest. This will be the key, and this is very important, this will be the key to our mutual survival and to maintaining our form of civilization. The mistake of the past was to isolate ourselves, allow our enemy to slowly expand their tentacles throughout the world, and eventually completely cornering us and then infiltrating our system with the same disease. A new international nationalism will be necessary to ensure the common survival of all nationalistic regimes. And this brings us to organizing. Now, I recognize that that we can't do this and put this into action until we gain some sort of footing and some sort of grassroots organization to hold our leaders' feet to the fire. If not, throw them out completely, which is most likely what's going to have to happen. But this, we have to have an idea, a platform. We have to put something on the table to give to the people as an alternative. When it comes to organizing, we have learned from past mistakes when it comes to this. The key for now is not to have an actual structure or committee or organization on paper, at least not to the public knowledge. This is key. If we don't have a structure or a committee, then there'll be no way for those rats to enter and undermine our agenda. Right now, we should push our ideas, various platforms, through the modern technological outlets at our disposal. Could you imagine how fast other nationalist movements could have organized in the past if given the information outlets and technology we have today at our disposal? It is unbelievable. The reason the new media has not witnessed the political accomplishments or its full potential is because we have spent years reacting to their agenda instead of putting out our own. Now is the time for a new agenda. Now is the time for precise, organized action. Now is the time for a 21st century nationalism. It is time. They've already, and this is the brilliant thing, they've already set the stage for us. They've already spent their money. People always talk about raising money. How are we going to raise the money to compete? We're going to use their money against them. That's how we're going to do this. We're going to use their money against them. You see, we wouldn't all be right here right now, organized tonight on the internet, getting together, trying to figure out ways to take back what we've lost, if they wouldn't have spent so much money in destroying what we have. They have been the best friends in the long run for us together at this point than they ever imagined. Just as we use the internet, you know, they created the internet to try to create a global economic system that they thought would eventually speed up the process in the final consolidation phase for their global tyranny. But it backfired on them. And activists and people took it over and started putting information that they did not want out. And now it has taken root. It's only been a short period of time, folks. 15 to 17 years of internet activity is a very short time frame. And a lot has happened in that 15 to 17 years. A lot has happened. A lot has been accomplished in raising awareness of certain issues. Once that we can stand up and challenge our enemies directly without fear, we can put them into the dustbin of history. The good thing is, folks, is that we can take our nationalist message out and we can take this country back one neighborhood at a time, and I really believe that. And then one day, I predict it will be sooner than a lot of people think, we will see millions demanding and fighting for this sacred enterprise. It will be a hard struggle filled with setbacks and dark days. But fortunately, our enemies have already given us this opportunity. Their arrogance and overreaching and evil that was once hidden behind respectable politicians now seeped like sewage into the open. Now we all can smell their hellish scents, and we know now where it comes from and where they want us to go. This time, we will remain. And this sewer of a system will be cleaned out. The rats will have nowhere to hide. To quote Nietzsche, the individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened. But no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself.
Smiles returning to the day.
right, welcome back. Reconstruction's live. I am Mike Sledge on the great Renegade Broadcasting Network. I will make, that's the document that I put together. I will make that available if anybody's interested. They want to email me or get in touch with the network. I'm going to put it out there. I'm still editing it a little bit, typing it out. But I just wanted to put something out there, just my ideas, how I think we can move forward. I mean, you know, and that's what that was all about. And, you know, what I want to get into now is understanding our enemy. Because I've noticed that a lot of people are getting caught up into communism and Jewish Bolshevism once they become active in this alternative movement, whatever the hell you want to call it at this point. And I want to get into fake left-right paradigm here, because this is what we have to identify if we're going to move any agenda forward. We're going to have to identify the tactics of the enemy and how the enemy operates. And I recommend people look into Anthony Sutton's works, How Wall Street Financed Communism, Financed the Soviet Union. And to all those youngsters listening who think communism and the left wing is the way to go to solve your problems, well, you already have that in power. The Jew World Order is national Bolshevism. The Jew World Order is international communism. You already have that in the White House right now. There's no reason for you to organize and take it to the streets at Occupy Wall Street. You already have it at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You already have it out of the Chicago School. You already have it sitting in Europe, in France, in England. You already have it all over the freaking world. You already have your international communism. That's what we've been fighting this whole time. You see, once the Jewish Wall Street bankers consolidated power completely around 1914 to 1920, and they made sure they consolidated all their power, and they took over our newspapers, they took over and consolidated our papers and all of our printing press at that time. They then moved in with the Wilson administration, and you had the Jewish power centralizing behind Wilson. And what did they do? After they consolidated their power, and let's remember, from 1914 to 1920, this was the time when they consolidated the printing press. This is the time when they really started financing communism, Bolshevism. Trotsky was actually living in New York City. Lev Brownstein was his real name. Lev Brownstein, a.k.a. Trotsky, was living in New York City, wining and dining with these high-ranking Jewish bankers. Then they started the ADL around the same time. Made sure they had their anti-defecation league in place, their ADL in place to go after all their political enemies. They made sure they had their press consolidated to go after anybody that stood up against the Federal Reserve System, the Jew banking system they created around this same time frame. And then they centralized in the Wilson administration, the Woodrow Wilson administration, and Colonel Mandel House, a Jew working with the Jews, Philip Drew administrator. See how they consolidated and behind the Wilson administration. What do? They immediately start World War I. Right after they get in power, they immediately start a world war. Immediately. They didn't wait. They didn't waste any time. They immediately started World War I, and they immediately started attacking their enemy, Germany. They knew Germany was a threat. They were advanced in science and technology. They had a very smart They had very smart, intelligent individuals and citizens in that country, and they knew that nation had to be destroyed. They had already consolidated their power in the British Empire through Cromwell in that time frame in history. The British power was already consolidated and under their control. They brought Winston Churchill in, Jew folk, okay? Made sure he was in power. By the way, I'm going to do a show coming up on how the Jews have used the alcohol trade, the liquor business, not only to destroy dumbasses like me, but to poison all of us on the Goy plantation and to make money off of us. Yeah. And guess what? Churchill's job, original job, was in England, I forget the title, like Minister of Alcohol or something like that. He was in charge of the alcohol trade. And the same Jewish syndicate around the same time in funded and financed the prohibition movement so they could create a black market economy in this country so they could capitalize even more and consolidate even more wealth from the illegal alcohol sale. They moved as a front man, their Italian goomba, Al Capone, into Chicago. Into Chicago. As a front for their syndicate operation. And we see that operation is still in the same hands through the Bronfman today. Still there. They love it. Prostitution, alcohol, drugs, money laundering, that's always been how they've made their living. That's always been how they've done it. So we see they consolidated power in the Wilson administration. They immediately, boom, World War I. At the same time they created that conflict, they then financed through the Wall Street bankers, well, Wall Street Jewish bankers, they financed Trotsky, whose real name is Lev Brownstein, who was in New York. They actually gave him the money. He then takes that money over to Russia, and that money that came, all of you liberals in the truth movement, in the Jew movement, listen carefully, that money that Trotsky got came directly from the Jewish bankers and the Jewish monopolies in Wall Street in New York City, who were killing union protesters and people trying to form unions in the streets, blood in the streets. And they financed communism. And they sent Lev Brownstein, Trotsky over, and him and Lenin got together, and they brought in what would be a system of mass murder the likes the world has never seen. And then eventually, they even killed the vehicle on which they brought Bolshevism in, Trotsky and Lenin, and put Stalin in power. And now they had the consolidation. Then after Wilson, they put Rosenfeld, his real name, he changed it to Roosevelt, in power. And then we saw the trifecta, Stalin, Georgian Russian Jew, Roosevelt, Jew, Churchill, Jew. And we saw them go after the last remnants of European culture and Western civilization. But there was an uprise. There was a rising in Germany, an uprising in Germany, and they came to power and they said, okay, we've got to stamp this out for good. And what we saw at Yalta, folks, was a real round table, a Jewish round table of three mass murdering criminals carving up the world and loot resources, goods to put in their coffers to bring about the tyranny that we live under today. Now, why did they choose communism? Why did the Jewish bankers, you could say capitalist Jewish bankers at home, why would they want to finance communism, something that doesn't allow for free enterprise? Why would they want to finance a system that runs contrary to what they're doing at home? Why? Because after the Bolshevik Revolution, they immediately started financing their factories in Russia. Okay? And they, a lot of the tanks, the Russian tanks and the factories there, and a lot of the goods there were actually front organizations and actually being run by New York bankers. And Congress was perfect after you create a monopolistic system where you have your corporations and your companies and your factories in place. Communism is the perfect vehicle because there's no competition and no threat to challenge your rule. So it was a great way. It was a Jewish duality approach. It was a great way to protect their investments and make sure that no one ever rose up to challenge their power economically, number one. And number two, it was a great way to lay the foundations for creating the Cold War, which would be the next phase of consolidation of building their one world Jewish order. Because then they created the Cold War. And then they used the threat of communism against us, the same way they've done on the war on terror right now, using Al-Qaeda, which they created to play against us. This is what they do. The same way they're using China to play against us as a proxy. So then they create the Cold War. And what's the purpose of the Cold War? The purpose of the Cold War was to be the foundation, to be the laying the foundation for a new Jewish international foreign policy that would allow them to build coalitions in Europe, controlled by them. And the excuse they gave is we got to stop communism, which they created and they controlled the whole time, folks. The whole time they controlled, trust me. They did. So they could then start building up European countries with weaponry, and they could start having an excuse to move our troops into the European theater. They could then start have the excuse to then move weapons all throughout the world, knowing from day one that they would eventually collapse the communist system. And a fake collapse led by Gorbachev in 89-90, that was so fake. Falling of the Berlin Wall, that was orchestrated and planned years in advance. Read Solzhenitsyn if you don't believe me. So, then after we armed all the countries and formed the NATO alliance, the American Treaty Organization, and we created a Jew World Order military, which is what that is. It is a military that works directly for the United Nations. Make no mistake about it, folks. Then communism would collapse, and guess what? We would all merge together into one juggernaut. And the capital of this power structure globally, would be not in Washington, not in England, not in Rome, but in Tel Aviv. But directly in Israel. That is the center of this juggernaut that we face today. So, if you want to prop up communism and prop up people like Stalin and Mao, the same Bolshevik movement, the Jewish Bolshevik movement that took root in Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution, they then financed and moved the operation to China. Don't believe me? Read history. Read the history of Chiang Kai-shek. Chiang Kai-shek wanted to adopt a republic form of government, a similar constitution to what we have, and perhaps that they decided, the Jewish people decided, you know what, we don't want that. We want communism to take root in China. So we undermined and pulled the rug from out of Chiang Kai-shek, and we financed Mao and allowed their Jewish Bolshevism then to take root in China. It killed millions of people, just like they killed millions of people. millions of people with the carpet bombing of Dresden. That's what happens. There are entities attacking Skype. Okay. Let me play a song and reconnect. How about that? Let's do that. Let me find something good here. I'll get back into this discussion here of understanding our enemy. Let me find something good here. So this is what always happens, man. And I'm probably a shield for seeing anything going on here. Okay. Let me try to find something in there. Okay.
All right. Can you hear me? I'm gonna. You know, I need to get money from Verizon. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? To whatever forces that be trying to stop this, fuck you. It's probably just my fucking computer. But anyway, enough of the frustration. Can everybody hear me now? Do I sound okay now? Because I'm going to move on. I'm on a phone now, so if this don't work, I give up. No, I can't give up. Okay, great. So I'm going to go back a little bit now to where it started getting freaking choppy, and I hope the whole show wasn't freaking choppy, but I'm doing the best I can. So let's go back. So you see, after they finished Germany off, the same Jewish trifecta then decided to pull the rug from Chiang Kai-shek in China, because you see, Jewish Bolshevism was financed by Wall Street Jewish bankers. They took over Russia. The mass murdering began there. They consolidated power under Stalin. Then you saw Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt carve up the world, loot the resources, carve up the world for the Jew world order. Then we saw freedom trying to break out in China. You had Chiang Kai-shek leading the way. And we were told in the beginning that we would support Chiang Kai-shek. And that's not what happened. We pulled the rug out from under Chiang Kai-shek, and we financed Mao. We financed another form of Jewish Bolshevism in China. Those were the real people backing up the communist movement in China. They were the forces behind Mao. All that money from their banks from over here entered into China to make sure. That took root there. And so we pulled the rug from under Chiang Kai-shek, allowing for Mao to take power, and then we saw the mass murder and slaughter of millions in China, just like we saw the mass murder and slaughter of millions in Russia, of millions with their bombing campaign in Germany, in Dresden, carpet bombing, the real Holocaust. Then they allowed the Jewish-controlled Russian troops to come in and rape all the women and pillage the cities of Germany. The same thing happened in China. We pulled the rug from under Chiang Kai-shek. Any glimpse of freedom that might have occurred in any of these places, we undermined, subverted, and financed the killers through their mindset, through their Talmudic mindset, through their system and operation of mass murder. Then they consolidated power there. And then guess what? A lot of people don't know the secret history of Vietnam. Just so we can define the enemy we're up against. Because you see, we are up against this empire that we face right now, globally, is Jewish communism. That's what it is. It's Jewish Bolshevism. That is what we face. That is what we are up against. Is a total joke. So that is the enemy. They're the ones now, because they know that this whole system, their whole empire, will come collapsing and falling to the ground if we withdraw our funding, if we withdraw our funding from their global Jewish institutions like the IMF, the World Bank, the United Nations. They know that if we ever wake up here against who the real enemy is, and we reverse and cut off the funding and the foreign aid, they won't be able to prop up this system globally anymore. They're scared to death of that. So what do they have to do? Well, they want to make sure that no countries in Europe possibly rise up again. They see that there's the Golden Dawn in Greece. They see that there's a Ukrainian nationalist movement. They see that there's a Swedish nationalist movement now. They see that there's a Norwegian nationalist movement. There's even a nationalist movement arising in England. We see this taking place all over the place. And they know that's going to happen. They're in a race against the clock. So what's their solution for that? It is that they can't bomb us like they did Dresden in Germany, because they need this country as a vehicle in the final consolidation phase of their power. They know they can't directly bomb and destroy this country the way they did other countries, because they need this engine for their whole Jew system globally. So what do? They flood us with third world populations. They flood us with illegal immigrants. They say, if we can't destroy you with bombs and weapons, we will destroy you with an influx of third world populations that will completely change your makeup racially, to completely subvert your language, your institutions. They will then drain off your welfare state, sending you to collapse economically. Then once you collapse economically and the white middle class and upper class is outnumbered, then they have total control. And they can put in the third world tribal policies of liberation theology and communism, which they have worked so diligently to embed in the minds of people in Africa, in Haiti, liberation theology, in Cuba, all through Central and South America. They can then use that. They can then use that and bring that in here. And boy, don't we see that already happening? 2008, who became the president of the United States? The symbol of the multiculturalism and the diversity that they have tried so hard to bring into this country, to bring us down with, is now complete. It is now accomplished. Now they're increasing it. Look at the two parties. They're gone. The Republican Party, which is supposed to be the party of white people, right? They don't do anything because both parties are controlled out of Tel Aviv. Both parties are controlled by the Jewish communist structure. Who are they going to put up to run for the Republican Party next time in 2016? Probably someone like Marco Rubio, supporting amnesty. Flood in even more people. Flood in even more people. This has been their strategy. They can't bring us down with bombs. They can't bring us down with guns and weapons. They will bring us down culturally through immigration. Immigration, their armies, you know, Germany faced the Jewish-controlled Russian army who raped and killed their people in the streets of Germany. Guess what? Their army, their new army today, in the final consolidation phase of their global power, the new army today is the hordes of third-world populations they are sending in here. They would love nothing more than to see us die in the streets like the over 68,000, approaching 70,000 that have already died in South Africa in a white genocide there. Approaching 70,000 have been killed. Whites have been killed in South Africa since the end of the apartheid. Nobody cares. Look at what the mass murder they did in Serbia. People wonder why are all the Muslims all of a sudden flooding into England and in the Scandinavian countries and Germany and France? Why? Because this goes back to our good friend Bill Clinton and his Jewish cabinet. Back in the late 90s when we went to war against Milosevic, when we went to war against Yugoslavia, when we destroyed Serbia, and we brought them down so we can open the valve and we can send in through that region the third world populations from the Middle East and flood Europe with these people who eventually want to bring Sharia law, whatever the hell else they want to bring to Germany, to France, to England. It's just a matter of time. Once they become the majority of the population, that's what they'll do. And frankly, I'm sick and tired of people in this truth movement saying, Islam's okay, but we can work with them. No, we can't. And they're doing it here, too. They're doing it here in this country. If the current birth rates continue, folks, France in the next 30 to 40 years will be an Islamic Republic. England approaching that. Germany as well. This is not about hate or hating other people. This is, you know, the Jewish power structure wants everybody to think this is about hatred, about keeping other people down. No, it's not. It's about keeping what we have. I can tell you this, that if nationalist regimes were to come in power in this country and in Europe, I can guarantee you that they would not want to bother the countries of the Middle East. And you people that are flooding in here need to realize, but you never will, because you've been brainwashed by communism, that if you really want the empowerment and betterment of your countries, you will help, you will stay where you live and help reform your respective countries. Fight in your own land. Don't come over here and sink the ship of Western civilization, because once this ship sinks, folks, it's all over. The light has died and they have their global plantation completely consolidated and ready to go. Signed, sealed, delivered. Make no mistake about it. What they couldn't use to defeat us, you know, bombs and guns and weaponry, they've used immigration as the bomb. They've used immigration as the weapon to destroy and bring us down. Make no mistake about it. So this is what we're up against, knowing our enemy. Our enemy is international elite Jewish communism, Jewish Bolshevism. That is what we are living under right now. That's what we're living under right now. So all of you in the alternative movement who want to organize and occupy Wall Street and all this kind of crap, you know, and talk about communist manifestos and planks, why are you even in the streets? Why are you even carrying a bullhorn? Why are you even walking around doing anything? You've already got what you want in the White House. You've already got what you want in the Congress. You've already got international Jewish Bolshevism, communism, Mao running the whole freaking world from out of Tel Aviv. Total joke. It's a goddamn disgrace. So then, going to Vietnam, they destroyed Russia, they took out Germany, they looted the world's resources, then they move, understanding our enemy, Jewish international communism, then they destroyed China, they put in communism there, Mao, Okay? And remember, folks, after they have the radical revolutions, radical Bolshevik revolutions in the beginning, they slowly phase it into what they call democracy. You see? They slowly then, through synthesis, move the radicalism into a more public civilized front called democracy, even though democracy really is just another word for Bolshevism or communism. That's all democracy is. That's all democracy has ever been. So first phase of Jewish Bolshevik consolidation, they have a violent revolution. They then move in. They consolidate power. They expand the bureaucracy. They protect the Jewish businesses, corporations, and so on. Then they slowly move into the final phase, democratization, to make it more palatable to the rest of the world. They change the name to democracy, democratization, once they are established and consolidate. And then they have this appearance of allowing, they'll allow certain things they didn't allow before, to let the people think they have a little bit of freedom, so they go to sleep, so there will be no uprising against their power, and they can rule perpetually without any real alliance against them. That's why they move to the phase of democratization after the first phase of radicalization. Radicalization in the Communist Handbook always then moves into democratization. That is how they operate. And then we see Vietnam. Now, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people do not know that Vietnam was trying to move in a direction. They had a movement there trying to move in the direction, the same direction that Chiang Kai-shek was trying to move into. A lot of people don't know this. There were representatives from over there who wanted to basically adopt a Republican system, a constitutional system very similar to what we have here. And immediately, before that could gain momentum, we then secretly funded, through the same banks, the mass murderers over there to slaughter people, okay? And then we declared war to bomb them back into the Stone Age to make sure that never came into fruition. And then over time, after the radicalization, we see that the radical communists still stayed in power even after the Vietnam War because we propped them up. Right? We propped them up. We propped up both sides of the war, just like we always do, just like the Jewish bankers always do. And after the Vietnam War ended, guess what? The communist powers were still there bragging about how they consolidated. And then when it was time to get rid of the radicals, we then slowly moved Vietnam into the same way China, that the Jewish bankers moved China. They moved them into the democratization phase. Into the democratization phase. Remember, first revolution, radicalization, then centralizing of power, then it moves to democratization. And we saw that under the Clinton regime. At the same time, he initiated the genocide in Yugoslavia and Serbia and brought in the hordes from the Middle East to flood into Europe to that war. He then, under his administration, remember, he brought in the new democratization of Vietnam. And Vietnam then made its way back into the global village, just like China, right? And we see the Jew corporations now setting up shop. They've been doing that since the late 90s there. And as a side note to that, remember his used to be head of the Democratic Party. I can't remember his name right now. Somebody murdered him on a plane flight coming back from Vietnam. Ron Brown. What did he know? We'll never know. But it was a dirty dealing. So, radical revolution, radicalization, centralizing of power, then shift to democratization. Now, the shift to democratization has been taking place since the late 70s. We saw that the shift to democratization with China began with Nixon and the open door policy to China. Very important there. That was Henry Kissinger's big enterprise, his big work that put him into prominence. And so that's occurred. The democratization is the consolidation. That's there. Now they've got all of the front puppets in place globally now. There's only one thing left to do. There's only one thing left to do to wrap this up, and that is to bring down Europe completely in the United States without dropping a bomb, without a shot fired through illegal and legal immigration and diversity and multiculturalism. And I know this is hard for people to accept, and it's hard for people to want to believe. You know, people are generally nice people, good people. They don't want to, they're afraid to stand up against multiculturalism, diversity. They're afraid of being called a racist. They're afraid of all that. But, you know, what you have to understand is that that poison, that has-brat poison, the multiculturalism and diversity, is not only destroying us and bringing down our civilization, but it's also destroying and bringing down other cultures as well. It's mutual assured suicide for the world. For the world. So we should not fear standing up against the multiculturalism programming. We should have no fear in standing up against the political correctness. You know, political correctness was first initiated in Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution. One of the first things they began to do there with political correctness is they changed the language. You weren't allowed to say certain words. They actually had communist centralized committees that outlawed certain words, changed definitions of words. The citizens of Russia were not allowed to say certain things. That was the testing ground for the modern-day political correct movement that we see here in this country. Everything they tried out over there through their Bolshevism, they then eventually brought to here, and they put it upon our population. And that's what they've done. By controlling the language, you control the minds of a population. You control the people. So this is what we need to take a look at. If we're going to be on the front lines of standing up against their tyranny, against the enemy, then we need to go directly to the heart of what they're trying to do and the heart of their programming in this final democratization consolidation phase, and that is political correctness, multiculturalism, and diversity. We need, the most important thing we can do right now is stand up against that. Anytime someone calls you a racist, talk back just as hard. Do not back down from the argument. Do not start apologizing. Do not say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to sound that way. Do not. If they call you a racist, you flip them off and keep on going. Who cares? We need to keep repeating our talking points. We need to keep repeating this. That multiculturalism and political correctness is a communist lie to destroy this country and to destroy our culture and heritage, and put this country into the dustbin of history, Europe into the dustbin of history, Western civilization into the dustbin of history. And we cannot allow that to happen. So on these two issues alone, we have to be vigilant. We have to stand up to these two. These two issues are some of the most, they are the most important thing right now. Without a national identity, without common traditions, and a blood bond within the nation state, you wither on the vine and you die. There is nothing left. You become balkanized. We've already seen this balkanization. We've already seen this balkanization. When you go to the ATM, Spanish or English. Now in some parts of the country, they're bringing in Russian. They're bringing in, you know, Arabic. They're bringing, I mean, it's over. These people don't give a hoot about our traditions and culture. Look at what's going on in Michigan. A lot of people in the truth movement, oh, don't talk about that. What's going on in Michigan? Now we can get along with the Muslims. We can get along with them. Isn't it amazing that there's all these women in the truth movement that are always complaining, calling people a sexist and all this kind of stuff, and these same Jewesses walking around throwing the sexist rhetoric out and criticizing people like me and others who talk about the, you know, certain issues, throwing the sexist thing out all the time. Isn't it funny that those same liberal Jew-ass women with cankles are the same ones? You know, they're all concerned about women's rights, but they get mad when you criticize Sharia law and women all dressed up in black from the head down to their toes walking around the freaking mall.
I know you have to be nice and let them have their Sharia law. Let them have their Sharia law. It's going to be okay. But you're a sexist. I don't like you.
It's gone. And who controls that program? Who controls the program? Our good friends. You know, let's go back in history. Have you seen the tapes? There is, go to YouTube and type in Nicolas Sarkozy, the former Jew-Hungarian who was president of France, the former Jew-Hungarian who was prime minister of France, talking about he wants to force French white people to interbreed, okay? To interbreed. Don't believe me? Look it up. So there you see Sarkozy, Sarkozy telling the people of France, the white people of France, that they must interbreed, they must mix with the third world populations coming into their country. And then he says, We must start an active campaign to get them to do this. And if they don't want to do it, we must, you know, maybe have to enact laws to force them into doing it. We must force them into doing it. And then he goes down to Saudi Arabia. And I'll get into that history in a second because it's very important to understand. He goes down to Saudi Arabia and he tells the Saudi regime that while he wants to do that in France, he would never tell Arabs and the Saudi House of Saud or anybody from a Muslim country they had to intermix. But they're allowed to protect their culture there. Why is that? Why is that? And there you see the perfect example of what I've always talked about in other shows. You see the Jews are cozy going to Saudi Arabia to meet with his Jewish cousins. Oh, yeah. Do you know that the House of Saud is his Jewish cousin? Do you know that the extreme forms of Islam, the Wahhabi sect of Islam, was actually brought in by Mordecai Moshe, a grain dealer who then created the House of Saud, who used the tribes, like the Bedouin tribes in the region, to move grains and his fruits and stuff to the markets in the Middle East? And they acquired wealth and became powerful. He intermarried with Arabic women, created the House of Saud, which became Saudi Arabia. That's why they divide all the wealth, the oil wealth, the oil from Big Zio Oil. They do business together, and they divide the resources together with each other. Same thing with the white slave trade. Same thing with that. And now we see that on display with Sarkozy. In Saudi Arabia, a family reunion, a family fucking reunion. Isn't that great? Isn't that so nice to see? Yeah. So you see, that is proof. That right there is proof that they have made an agreement to flood Europe with those people, and that agreement has been made in secret between that branch of Islam and the Jews to flood Europe, and they've already radicalized the Hispanic populations in Central and South America through liberation theology, through, you know, all that stuff. I'm not going to go into all that tonight. That's a whole other show. I've been working on that for years. Communist Catholicism. Catholicism was the biggest pushers of Jewish communism in Central and South America for years, for years. Remember people like Bishop Tutu that was down there in the whole South Africa situation, a communist, working with Mandela, a communist? You know, as much as the Catholic Church wells and, you know, raves about abortion, they don't mind almost 70,000 white people killed in a white genocide in South Africa, do they? They don't seem to care about that. The Pope don't wear a yarmulke for nothing. Make no mistake about it. Catholicism was another proxy brought in to destroy the cultures of Europe a long time ago. The Crusades were not actually a crusade against Jews. They were a crusade run by Murano Jews to kill the Germanic traditions, Nordic traditions, and so on. They needed Catholicism to become a proxy to convert the world to international Jewish communism. That's what they needed it for. And all you need to do is look in Central and South America, where Catholicism was the number one pusher of communism. Take a look at it. It's unbelievable, man. Absolutely unbelievable. So they've been working at this for a long, long time. And by the way, what's the Catholic Church, what's the Jewish Catholic Church's position on immigration in this country? Sanctuary cities. The Catholic Church is busy pushing sanctuary cities, busy saying that we need to open the borders and let anybody and everybody in. They don't care because you see Rome and Tel Aviv and Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and D.C., the District of Zionist Criminals. They've already decided a long, long time ago how they were going to carve up and destroy everything. They don't care. They don't give a damn about you. Their capitals are international cities, New York, D.C., Rome, Tel Aviv, London. They're separate from what we live in. They're separate from what we live in. They all work together. And they count. They're counting on the fact that we'll never be able to understand and define our enemy. They are counting on that. They're counting on the fact that, you know, you'll say, oh, it's, you know, you'll run back to your Catholic church. You'll run back to your Protestant church. You'll run back to your synagogues. You'll run back to your mosque. It doesn't matter which one you run to. They're all controlled by the same people. And they're all working together to bring Western civilization and European culture down to the ground. It's unbelievable. I guess I'll take calls. If anybody wants to call in, 347-633-9657. 347-633-9657 if you want to call in. So that's what they've done. When we look at history, we see how they've set up this system of genocide for our culture, for our civilization. We see how it's there. It's right there. Systematically, how they did it, step by step by step. But you see, it's such a big conspiracy and a vast conspiracy that they've put out and that they've created that people have a hard time grasping at it. People have a hard time, and that's why you see in this movement, people arguing, it's the Jesuits, it's the Jews, it's the Saudis that control Hollywood. Well, you know what? Let's just take Alex Jones for his word. Let's say that's true. It's still the Jews. Let's just say it's the Jesuits. It's still the Jews. It doesn't matter what name you want to throw up. They created all those institutions. Don't believe me? Look it up. Research it. All of them were created. So now here we are, 2013. And we have most likely an African communist president. Many of us can't recognize where we live anymore. In some places, you can't even understand the language. Without a shot being fired. You want to see something interesting? Go on the computer and type in what Compton, California looked like in 1920. Take a picture of what a school looked like in Compton, California in 1920, and then go to what a school looks like in Compton, California today and see what I'm talking about. I turn on the news today, I see in Texas, they're going to allow now, in Texas, right here in Texas, folks, they're going to start allowing, and the teacher in the school district is promoting it. Wear your burkas to school. Wear your burkas to school. Wear your Star of David to school. Don't wear a cross to school. I'm not defending Christianity here, but God damn it. This is how arrogant they're getting. It's okay to let some woman in black, and all you see is her eyes sitting at a desk, but God damn it, you wear a cross. Oh, God. Can't have any of those traditions in there. Look at it. Take a look in just 100 years. All designed by these people. They get together and they have committees and they plan and plot. They've plotted for years how to get rid of us. How to get rid of us. And see, what we need to understand now is we shouldn't concern ourselves with whether or not we're being called racist or not, or whether or not the third world populations get mad at us, or whether the Jews get mad at us, or whether any of these clowns get mad at us. We should just ignore that. We should stand up and start surviving. We need to start organizing as a group. Now, I'm not talking communistically. I'm talking as a group of individuals, but as a group, as a national identity, getting together and say, we need to stand together for survival. The next generation, what are they going to be left with? What are they going to be left with? You are going to be a minority, Europeans, in this country by 2040 if current trends continue. Now, we don't want current trends to continue, so we need to reverse it. We got to stand up. We have to do this. We cannot afford to be pathetic, apathetic, pessimistic, pathetic, that too, and sit behind our keyboards all day and just want to complain. We need to start putting things on the table, ideas on the table. I'm sorry for the choppy audio tonight. I really am. I did the best I could. I don't know what's going on. I do my best. I've tried to clean out my system. I've tried everything. I'm not going to get mad at that. What got out, got out. I hope you could read between the lines of what I was trying to say. The second hour I wanted to be about understanding the enemy. I think I broke that down, who our enemy is and how they've taken over countries and cultures. Now, to sum it up for this broadcast, let's look at the world. And the mantra has been said, and I agree with this mantra that's been put out by many others in this movement, in this struggle, and that is Asians for Asians, Africans for Africans, white countries for everybody. White countries for everybody. And that has been orchestrated by our good friends. Make no mistake about it. And that's what we're faced with. So we got to put the ideas on the table. We have to move this agenda forward. We have no choice. To not move this agenda forward would be to let down not only our ancestors, but to let down future generations and to let down literally Western civilization itself. Thank you. Good night. By the way, everybody, we had Mike Savage on my show yesterday right here in Austin, Texas, folks. It was great. Mike Savage came on. Clearly, I mean, it's becoming clear that we are, me and Mr. Savage, Dr. Savage, Dr. Wiener, we are clearly renegades in broadcasting, folks. I mean, folks, this movement is consolidating fast. I was on Howard Stern the other day. What a good interview. Howard Stern's going to come on my show, talk about anal sex. It's going to be great, folks. We are going to bring down this new world order, folks. Make no mistake about it. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, all right? So, big, big week so far. The consolidating of our anti-New World Order power continues. I mean, folks, Howard Stern, it doesn't get any bigger than that. I mean, folks, we're going to be taken seriously internationally now on a whole new level. I mean, you're talking Howard Stern, you're talking top shelf, you're talking classy, you're talking a show that's informative. I mean, anal ring toss. I mean, folks, come on. So then I brought Dr. Wiener on. It was unbelievable. We talked about how he talked about how we need a new nationalist movement in this country. Oh, yeah. Dr. Wiener was great. He talked about a new nationalist movement, and he said that we need a strong leader like King David to run this nationalist movement. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, folks. You can't make this stuff up. This is how this goes. I mean, we are taking over. We are full spectrum dominance, full speed ahead, death to the new world order. And we're going to do it with Howard Stern, with Charlie Sheen, and Dr. Wiener. Make no mistake about it.